Friday, September the 26th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
I love hearing the trepidation in people's voices now.
Yeah, what's he going to bring up this time?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, with the why do we say it? Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I mean, I just don't think I'm ever going to get that one, but let's try it.
Well, I'll give you a choice.
Oh, wow, okay.
Okay, so the CHP guys get their choice tomorrow. Would you prefer blind justice or blimp?
I'll go with blind justice.
All right, so blind justice for $300. No, okay. How did justice come to be called blind? Justice is usually represented in Greek statues as wearing a blindfold and holding a pair of scales. Justice was blindfolded so that she couldn't see the bribes that were being offered to her. The Egyptians carried this idea even further. They conducted their trials in a darkened chamber so that the witnesses, the pleader, and the prisoner could not be seen by the judges. The Egyptians felt that this would result in an impartial decision with no misplaced sympathy, although this system must also have resulted in an occasional misplaced prisoner.
Now, wait a minute. I was going to say all that. You never asked me.
Yeah, I bet you. I bet you.
You know, when you started doing this, I thought we were going to be hearing something about the root of the word and everything, but it's actually kind of fun.
Yeah,
I like tuning in and
trivia kind of thing. Yeah.
I wanted to cheat and get
get one also. Well, here, take your notes, go buy one.
Well, I thought I could get it on my Kindle, but they don't sell it. And
oh, darn! What a stunner! I suppose that the concept of blind justice could also be true with permitting and anything else that's done.
I think it's basically rooted in fairness. If you listen even to the explanation, it's fairness.
So how do you know that the county is being fair in processing of permits, in the processing of appeals, in processing before issues before, let's say, commissions and committees that are appointed? I would tend to think that at the wide end of the funnel, as it feeds into the system, that's where some of these biases might come into play.
Yeah, I think, and that this is where, as far as that permitting and appeals and all of those things go, it's difficult at the level where you're creating ordinances or where you're creating regulations, if you're in Sacramento, make sure that you actually have allowed for public comment, and that's extremely important as you create those things, and then that you craft your legislation in such a way that it is possible to administer in a fair way. And I think that if you look at these, sometimes people can feel like that's not the case, but I would say that in everything that we put together, that is exactly what you're going to get. It's fair. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's fair.
It's never easy.
Yeah.
Because it is tempting. And I would never suggest that you guys turn your chairs around the dais so you're not looking at the speaker. But if I went up, I bet you I would be treated differently than somebody who's there every week. Pontificating
Absolutely.
On their opinion,
yeah.
Even though theirs may be more valid because they're paying more attention, they're more regularly there, it's more of an informed, but I might be different because I'm not there all the time.
Well, I said absolutely, and I don't think that that's actually true. I think that it is true that obviously people would say it would be very welcome. I have to tell you, I love hearing from people. I love it when people take the opportunity to come and talk with us, because then you get a better feeling for what are the issues that you need to address. It is frustrating sometimes when you only have one or two. In fact, we have very often only one speaker, and that's somebody who's there at every meeting. That's not to say that what he has to say isn't valid. Sometimes it's just that it means that we don't hear from everybody. And And we can't hear from everybody because not everybody can go to the meetings every time, but it's important when an issue is important to the community. So if you were to show up, Brian, it would seem to me, wow, Brian's got an issue that's important to him. I want to hear what he's got to say because he doesn't just go to every meeting.
So the occasional might be perceived as more important.
Well, it would seem
than
that, oh,
the informed that's there all the
right,
time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a balancing act.
It's a balancing
obviously.
Act, obviously. You have to listen to everything, but I think that it just stands out if you come in, you haven't been in there very often. It's like, oh wow, what is this about? So, and it shows that somebody who doesn't have the time or the wherewithal to spend with us every Tuesday is making an effort, taking time out of their day to make sure that we hear.
Or not part of a mob.
Yeah.
Central
and,
theme.
Yeah. And I mean, we do see, you know, some issues will have more of a response from the community than others. And, you know, and obviously we've had our chambers all the way out the doors on some cannabis meetings, for instance, or general plan update meetings, things that affect a lot of people.
Do you think that same perspective is true at the committee and the commission levels where you're appointing people mm-hmm. and there's a tendency for a fiefdom to be developed?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we try our very best to pick people in the community. First of all, appreciate people stepping forward, right? Try to get people who we think will do a good job. I must say, I think the for instance, the Measure Z committee is amazing. They do a great job.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. In the retail setting, if we've got structures in place and to make sure that things are being done properly and everybody's being treated the same and we're putting a hand out and helping people and blah, 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 blah. There's this thing called a secret shopper.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just, there's somebody who goes through the process, but instead of being a regular shopper, they're looking for certain things, they're noting certain things, and there's a reporting back to the authorities, mm-hmm. the management, of what their experiences were and what they should have been.
Mm-hmm.
Does the county have anything similar to that for permit processes, for any of the different things that are going on? Just so that there's an impartial somebody that gives you that feedback loop so it's not a he said, she said. It is a real accurate reflection of what is occurring?
Well, no, I don't know. There's not something like that. I am aware of the Secret Shopper program. I'm not sure where it originates from. Did it originate from the authorities or did it originate from the businesses? But what it does perform a very good function. It gives you feedback. Now, I will say, now we have it some, let's say, for instance, with alcoholic beverage control, you do have quote-unquote stings. So
system. What I'm thinking of, Estelle, is reporting back to you about your systems.
Yeah, right, right.
Rather than, okay, the ABC is looking to bust somebody mm-hmm. or pop somebody or make mm-hmm. sure there's proper mm-hmm. adherence. Great dandy.
Yeah.
But now what about somebody trying to file for a license?
Yeah.
And how are they treated through the regulatory processes mm-hmm. or a building permit. How are they treated through that process?
Yeah.
Not somebody who is chomping at the bit because it's their money, their time. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
First timers kind mm-hmm. of thing. But somebody who knows, okay, this should be the normal experience.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we experience within the norm, and here's what were some of the things outside that really need to be paid attention to.
I kind of like that idea. I do think that, let's say, for instance, let's just open up a Pandora's box here with regard to either building and or cannabis permits. I have gotten so much feedback from people who've gone through the process and alternately, actually, people who haven't gone through the process and have gotten abatement notices. But let's go to the people who've gone through the process. It has been extremely difficult. And I have heard, that, just to give that as an example, okay, we don't have a secret shopper, let's say, out there. But what I do know is we have quite a number of people who have given us similar feedback. And I'll tell you a little story about something that happened not that long ago, just a couple of weeks ago. I was talking with Director Ford and some of his staff about a particular issue for somebody who's in the permitted system that came about as a result of a recommendation from a state agency. And in that meeting, another permitted cannabis operator was talking about the challenges that she faced in terms of the response she was getting from staff when she called up for details, etc. What I'm pleased to tell you is that Director Ford was listening to this, and he asked her, he said, would you feel comfortable coming to a staff meeting and telling staff what your experience was so that they understand what it feels like on the other side? And she agreed. Now, I don't know if that's happened yet, but I thought, now that's really smart on the director's part, because he has told me he's had staff meetings, and I've actually walked in on one of them where there are a large number of staff gathered in the hallway, and they're talking about experiences. And I thought it was really a great idea to get somebody that he felt was making some very believable and credible and mature kind of giving that kind of feedback. And he wanted staff to hear it. You know, this is how this kind of response or this kind of shuffling between one staff member and another is affecting the permit process.
Well, so we've heard that with building plans.
Exactly.
Being very similarly kicked around, and mm-hmm. you know, depending on who you talk to, you get different interpretations. Mm-hmm. So I come in and number A, or letter A, I guess would be more accurate. Mm-hmm. Letter A says you have to do ding, 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 ding. I do letter A. I come in expecting the sign off.
Mm-hmm.
And individual B says, oh, no, you need to include.
You
ding.
Need to do this, now, this,
wait,
and this.
We'll
this, yes.
And everything is done orally or mm-hmm. kind of recommend, yeah. And there's no consistency.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I have heard, because then that leads to the time and the cost, et cetera.
Exactly. And I do think that Director Ford is a really, really good planner, solution-oriented, knows his job inside and out, and can work with the alternatives people have. However, he's got to get his apartment to a place where things can work in a streamlined fashion. And I believe he's getting there. One of the things that he's doing is this software that we gave the okay on, which is Accela. That means that every single thing to do with a permit, building, grading, cannabis, you name it, every single one will all be in this software system. So there's no more stacks of paper sitting on someone's desk. Anybody who's dealing with that particular permit has access to all of the information about it. So even if it does go to another part of the department, they still have all the information.
And it's all tracked that way.
And it's all tracked. And it's also available to the permittee.
Now, what about DHHS and some of the other departments also? Because whatever the approach is, could be applied to every department.
You know, this, with all of its warts, and I do believe there are some, let's talk about that after the break.
Warts, when we come back. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit, and Redek.
We were talking about warts. I must, for all those of you hanging on our every word, we were not talking about warts at the THHS, although it does deal with health services. No, what I'm talking about is the internet of things. Okay, so yes, it can lead to things like Facebook and all these that have everybody upset. But what we have been able to do is to go very, very much further towards transparency and management of records. So the DHHS, you'll know all of the records. Now, with regard to DHHS, a lot of the issues that they have are covered by HIPAA, which is the opposite of transparency. You've got to protect people's privacy. But I still think that...
But as far as the interpretation of what the rules are, the processes, the blind justice part, so that it doesn't matter who the person is, the process is designed to get somebody on their feet and off of blank.
Yes.
Get them the services so that... And it, you know, it's like, tend to be pretty simple and tend to be pretty visual. What I'm thinking is like a plan, and you got timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Blank, we're going to do X, then we're going to do Y, then we're going to do Z. And by the time 14 months or 14 weeks comes by, you should be at this place. Doesn't matter who you are. Everybody has that same goal. And then we track against that case management style to get folks of the same scenarios handled the same way with the same potential outcome, rather than focusing on other things that result in situations like what we may see in San Francisco and some other areas that aren't outcome-based, and it's not timeline, and we're not specific, and we don't have accountability. We just kind of have process.
Well, you know, Brian...
Perfect world?
Exactly.
Okay.
I got to tell you, speaking of San Francisco, I have a friend who is a firefighter and an EMT in San Francisco. And she tells me that there are people who know that if they are on the sidewalk or whatever, and they say that they are experiencing shortness of breath, firefighters have to go there with all bells and whistles, a big engine, with the EMTs to take that person to hospital. And there are some people that make that trip on a regular basis. So there are certain parts of process that you just cannot shove into a black and white scenario. So there are people that DHHS is dealing with who have mental issues, drug issues. If they were given this 14 weeks you talk
or
about,
whatever the timeline,
even 14 months in some cases, it's just unbelievable. Also,
but
look,
couldn't
at the
majority of
have
a goal of doing this, and maybe then you take care of 40%, 50%, 60%, reducing the caseload down so that maybe the others can be elongated.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still progressing towards the goal of
something. I agree with you. The one issue, and it's kind of an interesting one, everyone who makes their way to Sacramento and or D.C. wants a law named after them, or maybe many more. And so what happens is you get all of these measures that go in place to address it in a patchwork way. If it were a little simpler and you say, this is the situation. Now, granted, you have to have the services that go along with it. So if you've got a lot of people with mental health issues, is there a law that says if someone is a danger to themselves or others, they need to be committed? They need to be somewhere where they can be taken care of. No, actually, in today's day and age, you have to go willingly in almost all cases. So,
well, unless you're deemed to be a danger to yourself or society, which I think...
Well,
a fair amount could qualify if there was a system and a process in place to handle that.
There are always legal challenges to just how that can be interpreted. And say, for instance, with Laura's Law, which I support and have asked for the county to take another look at, with Laura's Law even, you have to have created certain... broken certain laws, created certain dangerous situations. It can't be just that you're judged to be somebody who might, right? You have to actually have...
Well, I'm sure it would be through the legal process and certain requirements, but getting to that point.
Yeah, but with Laura's Law, I think you could do some of that. And then, of course, the situation is how many facilities do we have to deal with people who need that work and who need that help? I know of a few who honestly I would love to see in that kind of surrounding where they get the treatment that they need and can express themselves. There's one guy in particular, very well known in Southern Humboldt, I think is an artist, actually a very gifted artist, but he uses different ways to express that creativity that might be better served in a more, you know, I don't know if I want to say the word confined, but maybe controlled environment.
And about acceptable.
With people taking care of them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, I would love to see that.
Well, I think we all know folks who probably either are or could be diagnosed as bipolar.
Absolutely.
And they go and they decide that they're not going to be on their meds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole different person. Okay. Yeah, I know that's just a real small little snapshot, but it's an example of what may or may not occur. And I think that that's a challenge sometimes.
Bipolar is a really difficult one because people can actually function very well if they do have the meds. But one of the things that happens with bipolar that I've known, I mean, these are just anecdotal now, but I tend to think that some bipolar people are very, very gifted, very gifted. And so they get a high from being creative and gifted, and they lose that high when they're on their meds. They're a little bit more muted, so that's why they go off the meds. These are anecdotal. Now, I'm not a doctor, but I do think that is an issue, and that's why people go off their meds. So how can you keep them on their meds, you know?
You mean we don't have an easy answer this morning?
We don't have an easy answer, my gosh.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the RCRC, I know Rex is now about three-quarters of his way through the term.
Yes.
Okay. When he rotates off, is there still going to be viability of this entity? Is it still going to be something that we're going to hear a lot about? Is it going to be an organization that you continue to reach out to?
Oh, absolutely, Brian. I am so happy that we joined RCRC. You know, that is the rural representatives. And we just came back from our annual meeting last week. There's CSAC has its pluses, definitely, because it's statewide. Every single county is in the California State Association of Counties. RCRC is just rural, so it's got everybody's a little bit more on the same page. We all have the same issues one way or another. We might be a county of, like, 30,000 population, or one of 140, it doesn't matter. They're all very similar. Actually, Sonoma, I think, was scheduled to join just recently.
Really?
That would.
What part of rural do they qualify under?
Well, you know, they got
vines.
They got the vineyards.
That population thing kind of knocks them out.
But they've got population. But that's not a bad thing, because that kind of adds a little oomph to RCRC.
Right, as long as they don't overwhelm Alturas and MODOC and some of the really
Well, there is power in numbers in that particular instance. I think the majority is definitely on the same page. But anyway, at our last meeting, we had a great participation, very wonderful workshops, as well as great conversations, at the gatherings, just hanging out in the hall together. Really, really good.
The bar is always where stuff gets done. You know that as well as anybody.
Yeah, actually, the bar is pretty crowded, too. It was in Napa, as I said. We went out to a vineyard to just check that out. And, of course, I was thinking of other things when I was at that vineyard, looking at how things can be managed, with the co-ops, people from the various areas, vineyards coming into the wineries. But anyway, that was really, really good. A couple of things that really struck me. We got a presentation from CHP that was very good. We also got a presentation from a woman whose daughter was killed in the Sandy Hook massacre. And that was about school safety. One of the things she talked about was what everybody knows, that they actually had a drill. I think it was the day before they had the mass shooting, and she said what was really interesting about that, the two words that made them vulnerable, and that was "not here," meaning that no matter how many drills or whatever, you just don't believe it's going to happen in your school.
It's kind of like having earthquake drills.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
I think so. Well, hopefully some of that will be here.
Oh. RCRC is great to go, and I think Rex has had a great run, and it'll be still there when he's gone.
Good deal. We just have somebody prettier up in front.
Oh,
his ugly mug. Thanks for coming by. See you tomorrow.